on today's Church TechCast Q&A. Long cable runs, ProPresenter text, and more. Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of the Church TechCast Q&A show. My name is Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm your host, and I'd love for you to join the conversation. So these questions all came directly to me, and so can your question. All you have to do is head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact and leave your question or comment there, or use any of the contact information listed there. That's fine as well. You might find that you're more of an email person. Well, you can email me like Carol did, who asked a couple of questions today that I'm going to be answering. Paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com. You might think, well, Paul, you wrote the book on Twitter for churches. Do you have a Twitter account? Yes, I do. It's Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAlanClif. And that's how William got a hold of me. And so you're more than invited to do so as well. Additionally, if you're more of a telephone person, you might think, wouldn't it be great if I could call on the phone? I got you covered. 1-877-POD-ECHO, 1-877-763-3246, and you can call the show. Of course, anywhere you're watching this video, leave a comment below. So if you're watching it on trinitydigitalmedia.com, I check those, you might think. I do. So just leave a comment below. If you are watching this on YouTube, just leave a comment below. That's fine, too. I'll get it any of those ways. By the way, this show is released as a video podcast and an audio podcast. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/subscribe. And you can get it automatically every week for free. Free. F-R-E-E. Free. Zero zip. Not a dollar. Zippo. Free. And just do that. That helps you to remember the show and get it every time. And it helps me to know how many people are actually getting it. Also, if you've already subscribed and you like it, head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/iTunes reviews. And there you'll see all the links where you can go leave a review. I'd appreciate any honest feedback, especially 4- and 5-star reviews. Those would be helpful to me as well. So, let's get started. William Herndon, over on Twitter, sent me a message that said, Paul, we met at Quest about a year ago. Our church is trying to set up video cameras to stream to 2 TVs located in our building. We have Cat6 cable already ran, but are not sure how to hook up. We haven't been able to find anyone to help. Best Buy said they could not. Do you know of anyone who can? Thank you. And I wrote back, yes, I can. So here is the solution. First off, I clarified a couple of things with William. You might be thinking, wait, that sounds like it was more than 140 characters. It was broken into a few messages. I just cut all the spaces out. So anyway, the first question, did he have one contiguous run of Cat5 not interrupted by anything? Because if it was a networked situation, what I'm about to suggest would not work. Secondly, did he have sound in those 2 locations? Turns out one of them he did, the other one he did not. That also affects the answer. Third, are they standard definition televisions or HDTVs? HDTVs was the answer. Four, what connections do those TVs have? Turns out they have HDMI, DVI, and VGA, as well as all the other basic connections other than SDI, which I admit is a professional connection. I just happen to like it better. Okay, so here's what you need to do, William, and I've already sent him this information, and he was grateful. You need a Balun, B-A-L-U-N. It's a device that will take your signal and balance it so that you can send it along your Cat6. And then on the other end, there's another box that unbalances it and makes it what it was. So B-A-L for balance, U-N for unbalance. Balin, whatever. Never actually heard it pronounced by someone that knew how it was pronounced. Just a bunch of us guessing, and just like biblical pronunciation, technology pronunciations are often a matter of confidence. So I'm going with Balin. Now here's the caveat. Whatever you put into the Balin is what you will get out of the Balin. So if you're starting out with a composite signal, you can't put that into an HDMI Balin. If you're starting out with a VGA signal, you can't put that into a DVI Balin. Understand? So you've got to get the signal to what you want it to be on the other end. Secondly, if you had sound in both locations, I would recommend either DVI or VGA, hands down. No contest. Those are clearly the right solutions. VGA tends to be a little more reliable, but I really don't like recommending older tech, given that you buy for the future, you don't buy for the present. That's one thing that's absolutely true. So I don't like recommending it, but right now it's still the best option. DVI is almost as good an option. HDMI is a horrible option. If you've seen these shows before, you might know that I hate HDMI. It's fine for hooking up your Blu-ray player to your TV 3 feet apart, about a meter apart. That's fine. But when we get into production, we need long cable runs, and we need to have a system that is not designed to fail with any minor fluctuation or any minor something that might possibly be construed by somebody somewhere as perhaps having something to do with piracy. So HDMI, because of HDCP, high definition copy protection, is designed to fail if they think there's any chance whatsoever that you're doing anything that they don't like. Therefore, I don't like it. I think that it's a horrible system. So, given the choice, places that have the money always choose another option. HDSDI is probably the best current solution over HDMI. But if your TVs don't have that, I guess you could convert, but by the time you're doing all the conversion, it just doesn't make any sense anymore. So, just keep that in mind. Here, let me move my chair a little. It's squeaking against my soundboard here. Okay, Carol Hare wrote me with a couple of different ProPresenter questions. On Tuesday in the screencast show, I actually answered the first one, which was a question of how you properly use backgrounds. And on Tuesday, I'll choose one of these other questions and I'll actually do a screencast on it. But I just wanted to give an overview real quick about this. So Carol's question was, how do I split text on a slide when there are too many words on a slide and I want to take half of the text to the next slide? How do I do this? Well, you might be thinking, well, that's pretty easy. You highlight it, you copy it, you cut it, and then you paste it on the next slide. Yeah, that's easy. I got a better alternative for you. In ProPresenter, if you're in the Edit Slide dialog or the Reflow Text dialog, either of those, and you put your cursor, so you click right before you want the next slide to start, hold down Shift, tap Enter. That'll put it down on the next slide. So this is really a great option if you've imported some text and you find, uh-oh, it's all on one slide. I've got like 2-point font this long. There's no way anyone can read it. No problem. You just click where you want the second slide to begin, Shift Enter. Go to the next slide, Shift where you... click where you want the next one to begin, Shift Enter. You can do that very quickly and get the appropriate amount of text on each slide. Then just apply your standard template and you're done. So I've done this more than once by more than once, I mean probably literally hundreds of times, when I didn't have time to do it any other way, and it helped. Now, if the worship leader starts singing the song that you don't have in there, that's problematic. You probably just need to get it in there as fast as you can. But if you have 5 minutes of heads up, you can probably accomplish this in 5 minutes. So that's a really cool trick to do. I learned that by reading the instructions. I know, crazy talk. Why would I dare read the instructions? But I did, and that was in the manual. So that was something I thought, oh, that's so important. I totally need to do that. Next, she says, first she had a problem where all the tokens were missing. Well, let me read the question, then I'll elaborate. She also said, hi, Paul, I want to know how to change the font and text of the message in the text box for the countdown clock. I have it like this. Service starts in colon countdown token. I want to make the whole line larger and change the style also. Can this be done from the message text screen? I have a blank template at the bottom, 1/4 of my announcement slides that I am showing the time in. But I guess I could put the text I want into the template, then show the countdown clock beside the template text. Do you think that is a good idea? Thanks so much. You will be eternally blessed for helping us all. Be blessed, Carol. Okay, Carol, here's the deal. First off, when the announcement slides are created, you and whoever creates them, whether it's you, which makes it real easy because you can just agree with yourself on this, the two of you can get together and do this, or whoever does this, need to agree where the countdown clock goes. If it goes in the top third, no important information needs to go in the top third. If it goes in the lower third, no important information from the slide, that is, needs to go in the bottom third, so that you're never covering up information with the countdown clock. Okay, step number one. Step number two, what you can do is you can create a template, just like you do for all other slides, for this text. And so you can create one that says, service starts in colon, and then the countdown token, and you can format that. Now here's the trick, because it's going to feel like this doesn't work at all, and you're going to get odd kind of results. But I've done this enough that I think I've licked it. When you open up the messages dialog, you need to first make sure that the countdown clock is not running. Make sure that that is not running even in the background. Make sure it's not showing on the screen. None of that. Okay? Next, there's a little icon upper right-hand corner that looks like a pencil on a piece of paper. You need to click that. That's where all the countdown tokens and such are located. And towards the bottom left of that dialog, there's a place where you can choose the template that you apply. What I want you to do is I want you to open a new template. And in the new template dialog that opens on top of that, that's where I want you to format it the way that you want it to be. Now, having formatted it the way that you want it to be, make sure you save and close that template dialog, and now apply that template after you've saved and closed the template dialog. Apply that template to your countdown. Now show the countdown, and it should look right. So I wouldn't suggest doing this right before service. I would suggest getting there, either doing it after service when everyone's left, or during a practice time, sometime where you can mess with it a few times to get it to look the way that you want it to look. And I think that will, in fact, solve the problem that you're trying to solve. So that is what I would recommend to you as well. So the other thing is she wanted to add a countdown I'm going to summarize this last question because we had to go back and forth a couple of times and it turns out that it was a junked up preset that caused the problem. So here's her question. I'm trying to make a countdown clock template for the bottom of our announcement loop. Under our messages icon, there is a countdown to service, but there is no clock there to start. Could someone have deleted the clocks or hid them somewhere? How could I make the clock come back? Thanks so much. Have a blessed day, Carol. Okay. Here's what I wrote back. In the messages pop-up, there is an icon that looks like a pencil on a writing on a piece of paper. Click on this. Look at the attached screenshot. In the message dialog box, look for what's called a countdown token. If there isn't one, look at the bottom of the token box to the right. Scroll down to the bottom, and there should be three tokens there. One, two, or three. Drag one of those into the text box. Now try clicking the Start and Show Message button. Did that do it? Let me know if it does. So that's how you add a countdown. It turns out that someone had deleted that particular token, so that was a bit of a problem. So we just needed to reset the preferences, and that's what fixed that problem. But that's how to add a countdown in general in ProPresenter 5. So that is... Let me click on it because it looks like I got some more... So, okay. Okay, so there you go. So that is, just a few of the questions that I've gleaned. Sorry, this ending seems kind of weak. Let me take it up a notch. So, I hope that those are answers to questions that can help you. If your name is William Herndon or Carol Hare, it definitely is. But if not, if I haven't answered your question either in one of these previous shows, or you need more clarification, or you just want to reach out, remember, head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact or leave your question below this video. Sorry, I hit the mic there. And I would be happy to answer it. Until next time, don't forget to subscribe, like, do all those fun things. And comments on iTunes are, of course, always appreciated. And go out and change eternity. This is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.